The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on September 7th, 1981 in Boston, Massachusetts.
And each energy has got a particular function. But specifically, the energy of Srimati Radharani, energy who is Srimati Radharani, Krishna, who is the embodiment of happiness, who is himself pure happiness, has expanded his happiness energy. And that is the Supreme Personality of Spiritual Bliss, Srimati Radharani. The whole world, it is very rare to find someone who is looking for spiritual bliss. In history we find there are many great souls, just like Buddha. He gave up so many things, his princedom, to go off in the forest to search for spiritual happiness. Maharaj Bharata, he was emperor of the world. This planet is known as Bharatvarsha by residents of other planetary systems since his time. Because he was such a great king, he gave up everything just to achieve that spiritual bliss. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many great sannyasis, dedicated everything in search of that spiritual bliss. That spiritual bliss personified by Srimati Radharani. The development of our appreciation for spiritual life and our realization of spiritual bliss is not very difficult to understand. It's like I'm just coming now from India. There we grow sugar cane. So just from growing sugar cane, we can understand how we develop our spiritual consciousness. Sugarcane is grown first from a seed or from a piece of sugarcane. So that seed of sugarcane is planted, it grows into the plant. The sugarcane itself contains lots of sweet juice. So we crush the cane and we get the sugarcane juice. So the seed is compared to faith, shraddha. And the juice, that is compared to association with devotees, association with transcendentalists of the same mentality. It is necessary. Then as further reclined, one cooks down the juice of the sugar cane to get gur, to get molasses. Jaggery, they call it. And that is the process of bhojana kriya, practice of devotional service, the actual practice. So, just like you probably, many of you have seen them prepare sugar cane? They have here in Boston? Puerto Rico. There they have many factories, and they take the juice and they put it in vats. And it's very convenient because, you know, the fuel that they use to cook it? The crushed cane, what's left. They crush the cane, get the juice out, then they stalk. They put it in the sun, let it dry, and that's the fuel. And the devotional service doesn't require any help from outside. No need for mental speculation, no need for mystic yoga, no need for any other type of practice. Bhakti yoga, this practice of devotional yoga, is complete in itself. So when we put the sugarcane juice on the fire and we heat it up, then out comes foam, different types of impurities. So those have to be taken and thrown off. Like that, when someone starts to practice devotional service, starts to chant, then different types of mental attachments and things that he didn't even know or she didn't even know were in the mind, they start to come up. So all the impurities have to be taken and discarded. Those are unedible, at least for human beings. Of course, Srila Bhavananda Goswami, when we used to make sugar cane, he had us do it far away from the temple, because the first few years we did it next to the temple, and the foam that's thrown, although the human beings don't eat it, the dogs, they like it. So all the stray dogs would come and lap it up, and they would become intoxicated eating the foam. Like this. This different type of happiness. The happiness for the human beings and happiness for the dogs and animals of a different category. So the dogs are satisfied eating the foam, the impurities, the little pieces of grass and dirt and dead bugs, whatever, it all floats up in this foam. And they get a little sweet juice mixed with all the foam and dirt and everything else, and that's enough to make them very happy. Like that, in this material world, people get some happiness, but it's mixed with so many inebrieties. But they're tolerating the inebrieties, just like the dog was tolerating, because they don't have any experience of higher taste. So this Krishna conscious movement is to bring an awareness of the higher taste. So like that, when one continues to cook the sugarcane juice, throws off the impurities, this is called anarthaniriti, taking off the unwanted things in our heart. Our consciousness is conditioned by so many associations. We associate constantly with different forms, with different people, with different concept. So what, to get to the transcendental vision, sarvapadiva nirmuktam, tatparatena nirmalam, one has to be freed from all type of upadi, false designations, that I am thin, or I am thick, or I am American, or I am Chinese, or I am white, or I'm black. And we have to come to beyond the bodily platform, to the actual living force, spirit platform. So then when we finally, now we've got the impurities off, now we're just cooking down. We're just cooking down the juice. And finally what happens, we want to test when it's ready to make into crystals. So we take with a scoop and we lift it up in the air. And when it's at the optimum moisture, as we lift it up, then instead of just dripping down, it drips down and becomes a thin string of like coffee. That means that now it has no excess water in it. So then it's taken and put into another container. Generally, we put it into a big earthen vat or wooden vat. But just by putting it there, it doesn't crystallize. It doesn't become into the gur or jaggery. It just stays a soup. At that time, you know what has to be done? You have to add the crystal. You have to add a crystal seed. That can also be manufactured right on the spot. But that crystal has to be put in there. Once you put one crystal in, the whole thing just suddenly transforms and crystallizes. Very amazing to see. But without that, it's just a soup. They put that into a small container sometime and crystallize it, and then it condenses. And this way, in a 17 kilogram tin, they put about 25 kilos, 30 kilos even. It becomes so condensed. So in the same way, we practice, we purify, but ultimately we have to get the mercy from the Vaishnavas. We have to get the special mercy from those who are very close to Krishna. This is what crystallizes everything. This is what makes everything perfect. If directly we think that we can reach the Absolute Truth, directly we'll reach the Absolute Truth on our own efforts. There are so many pitfalls that ultimately it doesn't crystallize. So the process is that we take the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, take the shelter of the Vaishnavas, and this way we reach very easily. So now we have crystal gur. And that is further refined into a candy. So that candy gur is like very nice taste. So that's the crystal is a nistha, fixed devotion. Very fixed devotion. As one has got the impurities off, has the mercy of the spiritual master, then his devotional service becomes fixed. That means that no longer is the mind chanchala. By nature, the mind is very flickering, goes here and there, everywhere. But when the mind becomes fixed, the spiritual energy is so strong that the intelligence, mind, and senses are controlled. That is known as nistha bhakti. That's a perfectional stage. Preliminary perfectional stage. So then we take that crystal gur, now we're refining it and make toffee, gur candy. The gur candy is more sweet than just the crystal gur. It's very chewy. You know how they pull it, toffee? They pull it and pull it, it becomes more sweet. That sweet, that's ruchi, taste. When we are in a fixed devotional service, we further purify, it becomes more and more intense, more and more refined. Then we get a sweet taste. That taste, when we achieve that taste, which is not dependent on anything material, this is very wonderful. Generally, we're dependent on our six-pack or 20 in a cigarette pack or something. We're dependent. And therefore, our happiness is dependent on the supply line. Just like an army, when they have the supply line cut, then they get defeated. Similarly, their so-called happiness in this world, once the supply lines are cut by different enemies, then they are in great anxiety. And they're always being cut because there's so many breakdowns. Of course, so-called material advancement is that one supply line of all these ingredients we're dependent on for our sense gratification, they're very efficient. So there's a minimum amount of breakdown, maximum delivery. But actually, however you look at it, we're completely dependent. And that is simply just scraping the surface. It's not going at all to the real satisfaction that we're seeking. So So when we get the taste from within, when we get the taste from chanting, from serving, then we become independent of all these artificials. We're no longer relying upon them for our happiness. We have the taste. So that is even a greater level of perfection. So then the next stage is if you take the gur and you refine it into sugar, then it becomes very sweet, very refined, very condensed, concentrated. That is compared to attachment, ashakti. When one gets the taste, naturally becomes attached to that taste, just like everyone is so attached. If you try to take away their sense gratification, they become very angry. But here the devotee, he becomes attached to his transcendental pleasure. Srila Prabhupada gave an example once that there was a devotee in the temple. Mother and father came to take him away. He said, "I don't want to go." I think this was in Montreal. And finally, the mother grabbed one arm and the father grabbed around the waist and they were pulling him out the door. So he grabbed onto the door handle and the mother was pulling on the leg and the father was pulling on the arm. He said, "I won't go, I won't go." He said, "No, come home, come home." The Prabhupada said, "This is attachment." When they're pulling and he said, "I won't go," he's become attached to Krishna. And then when that attachment gets further refined, then it becomes sugar candy, misri. That is a bhava, ecstatic devotional service, where one, by chanting, becomes so overwhelmed in ecstasy that sometimes they're crying, sometimes fainting, sometimes voice is choking up. Different type of transcendental symptoms are there, called ashta sattika bhava. These come automatically from the heart. They don't have to be artificially brought out. They just automatically come, an expression of ecstasy. Of course, beyond that, the most condensed, which is the extremely refined sugar candy, that is pure love or prema. So Srimati Radharani, that prema is one actually is no longer connected at all with this material world, develops a spiritual body. Even within this body, he develops a spiritual body. And his relationship with Krishna is fixed on his spiritual platform, irrevocably. And his symptoms, the symptoms of prema, are so inconceivable that it's very difficult to understand. So, Srimati Radharani, whose appearance day is today, she is the embodiment of the perfectional platform of prema, or pure love. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we described that this prema is actually the perfection of human life. There's no higher perfection one can achieve. It is the perfection of liberation. It makes one completely independent from the material world. And it fulfills all the desires. And it gives complete knowledge. Everything. So, in this way we've just refined some sugar cane. Actually, every year we refine the sugar cane. This story, or this example, is not my example. This example was given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about 120 years ago. He used the example of the sugar cane. It just so happened that we were fortunate enough to have our own sugar cane, so we've got a practical view of how it's done. Now in India, the preaching there is going on very nicely. We had a big Rath Yatra festival in Calcutta. We take Jagannath from the southern part of Calcutta to the northern part. It's 9 kilometer route, about 6 miles. Takes about 6 hours. And there were practically 1 million people who participated. Then we take the Jagannath up. We have a huge circus tent, and we build a tent. We build a temple out of cloth, a whole temple and everything with a darshan and darshan mandap. And Jagannath stays there for 9 days, just like in Jagannath Puri. And for 7 days, we have a public pandal program from 4 till 6. There's a classical. Our devotees sing classical bhajan. We have some disciple. When the disciple is trained by this Ali Khan, famous musician and singer of India. And then from after that, there's some slideshows, kirtan, lectures, 2 different lectures, and then drama in the end. Hour and a half, 2 hours drama. Sometimes it goes to 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. From 9, they like drama very much. And the drama, Prahlad Maharaj this year, the Gurukul boy put it on so nicely that I was noticing some of the women. There was about 12,000, 15,000 people at one time sitting watching the program. Some of them were crying to see Prahlad Maharaj being tortured by his demonic father, simply because he wouldn't be an atheist. He wouldn't denounce Krishna. He would do everything for his father, but he would want to chant Hare Krishna. And so many ways his father tried to torture him, or tortured him, but couldn't dissuade his son. Finally, when he personally went to kill him, of course, then Lord Narsingadev came, and everybody jumps up at the end, cheering. Then we have like that every night. Then on the return route, on the going route, there was rain. So actually only about 1 million people came. Some of the people walked the whole 9 kilometers completely soaked. But on the return route, there was a big soccer game. And so the police were afraid that when the soccer fans would come out, and Russ was coming at the same time, that the soccer fans sometimes get crazy if their team loses. So they told us to delay our Rath Yatra for an hour or two. So that actually worked very nicely. The police cleared the road 45 minutes in front of us, and the whole road just filled up with people. And it was the return route generally isn't so big, but this return route, because of the perfect weather and the timing, there were about 1.5 times as many people this year. It was just completely packed. This is our 9th year of Rath Yatra. Next year will be the 10th anniversary. We're going to have, in a very big way,